And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's totally terrific, totally transforming, totally triumphant Tuesday as we find unity from the Father through the Son and by the Holy Spirit, all for the glory of God Almighty. First, as we enter Galatians 4, the Apostle Paul gives the illustration of a father who leaves great wealth for his young son. In reality, those riches are indeed the ownership of the son that will receive them, but the child does not have access until they reach a certain stage or age. Until that time, there's a guardian appointed over them, and that guardian is in control until they reach the maturity level. That's the same illustration between the New Covenant and the Old Covenant. The law was our guardian to lead us until we reach maturity in Christ. Next, verse 3 mentions that we are all slaves, and whether people like that word or not is irrelevant. We are all slaves to the spiritual powers of this world and have been so until Jesus came. What's often missed is this text is that Jesus came at the right time. We're going to examine that. While each one of us might think that God could speed up his timing, we have to keep in mind that God's timing, not just for us personally, but for us corporately, is perfect. And that includes the second coming of Jesus Christ. And finally, several descriptions are now offered to help us understand the power of the incarnation of Jesus. God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law, sent to buy freedom for us who were slaves, so God could adopt us. And we have now become God's children through Jesus Christ. And God sent his Holy Spirit into us through Jesus to confirm that all this is true.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Nice. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey. We're asking you, what do you think? You can email us during the show, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us live during the show, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us live during the show, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Now, when you make that call, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and creatures of all ages and sizes, you'll end up talking to Dynamite D.
Hello, lucky person. You got the number right, because you are talking to Kid a Dynamite.
Talking to Dynamite D, that's like sharing the cheat meal on your diet with your favorite person.
It's always good, Dave.
That is just like the blessing from heaven.
Let me mess you up. Any cheat meals outside of the Chinese food lately?
And then we went to maybe one or so, maybe. I'll just leave that there. I've been working really hard, though. I have been working.
And just the audience, no, we're just joking. Like, yeah, that's yeah. What he wants.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, I'm working hard at it. So down 33, got a ways to go. Because every time I see my doctor, he goes, "Hey, fatso, how you doing?" It's like, look, I pay you for this? That's how it goes for me. You know what? I often want to respond. I can go anywhere and get that opinion. Anyhow, let's move on now, because if not, we'll get caught up. Here's the bottom line. I know. That was pretty good. So here's the bottom line. If you have a prayer request, reach out to us. Let's pray for you. Let's pray with you. Okay? We'll either pray for you or with you. You got something going on? Hey, everybody goes through the ups and downs. If you're going through an up and you've got a praise report, why don't you call and share that? It's such a blessing for other people to hear. And the reason it's a blessing is because people hear that God is active, listen, in people's lives around them, and that encourages people. It's not bragging to sit there and say, the Lord did this for me. If you look at Scripture, that is all the way through Scripture. It's everywhere. It's like the people saying, the Lord did this, the Lord did this. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I said that to my daughter the other day. She had something really great happen. I said, how many people have you told? Well, we were told. I said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Can you imagine being one of my kids? Oh, my goodness. Anyhow, so if you've got that going on, hey, don't hesitate. It's not a kvetch fest. We're not asking you to call and complain. You know, okay, do that somewhere else, okay? Right here, we're looking to either pour it out so that we can pray with one another, pour it out so we can praise with one another, or even if you're feeling that really strong element in you, how about a answer to a trivia question? What was the name of Ruth's mother-in-law? What was the name of Ruth's mother-in-law? Was it Esther, Deborah, or Naomi? Esther, Deborah, or Naomi? If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483 as well. You can send an email, David@hemustincrease.org. We'll do our DNA because DNA is in our building blocks and we want to be doing that. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Just spend time with God. Here's a great thought. You're going into eternity, right? You might as well bring some of that early. You might as well spend some time with the Lord early and get used to it and get used to and start enjoying the process. You're going to be doing it forever, right? It's not something you're trying to put out. You're trying to get into. Because in the presence of the Lord, what does it say in Psalm 16? Because in the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy. And some of you have a little less joy. Sometimes I have a little less joy because I'm not spending a good amount of time or enough amount of time in the Lord. And being in the presence of the Lord, that is the fullness of joy. And when we go to heaven, we'll always be in the presence of the Lord, and that is going to be the fullness of joy. So let's just listen to this simplicity. I'm just stuck on this, but let me do it for a second, okay? In the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy. When you get to heaven, you'll be full of joy all the time. But you can have some joy now. In fact, joy is a fruit from the Holy Spirit. In the presence of the Lord is where you're going to find that. You really lacking? Get with the Lord. That's D, draw closer to the Lord. And never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Never, ever, ever be ashamed. I even had a dream last night. I don't believe it was prophetic, but it was weird about being persecuted for believing. It's just like, look, here's the bottom line. The bottom line is you never be ashamed of the word of God. And if people don't like you or it, that's tough. It's too bad. Sorry, you don't have a heaven to put me in. I don't care. And then A, always be ready
to serve,
which means OPM, other people matter, which means we fulfill the law of Christ by carrying one another's burdens, by loving on each other, caring for each other, and taking care of each other. That is our goal, to walk in that way. Remember, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Love your neighbors, love yourself. And then Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. Wow. We got a ways to go, huh? All right, somebody's ready to answer a trivia question. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Brother Roger again.
Hey, Brother Roger again. How are you?
I'm okay. I didn't get to call in last week. Just thought I'd call in this week with the answer.
All right.
I always do the easy ones.
Well, you know, you chose a good week because it's kind of like summer's kind of like over.
Right.
So if you picked a good week, this was a good one to do it.
Yeah, I can sit in my car without the air conditioner.
see, that's pretty good right there. All right, my brother, here we go. Let's do the question first. What was the name of Ruth's mother-in-law? Was it Esther, Deborah, or Naomi?
Naomi.
That is correct, Amanda, sir! Right you are. That is 100% on target. Great job there. How are you, by the way?
I'm okay. You know, just the joy of the Lord is my strength.
Amen. Amen.
So I just trying to keep your joy is sometimes rough and hard. And if you learn how to cast all your care upon him, then you can keep your joy.
Amen. And see, that's a big thing. They go into the presence of the Lord for the fullness of joy. Instead of carrying that stuff around you, go make sure you're carrying on in the Lord.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And if you're casting your care, don't do it with a fishing pole where you fish it back out.
That's a good one right there. Some people use a boomerang. They throw it, and they're like, hey, it's back.
I'm casting. Oh, wait a minute. I better have that back, you know.
That is great. I love it. Excellent job. Don't cast your care with a fishing pole. See, that's another great bumper sticker. You gotta write that down. Don't cast your care unto the Lord with a fishing pole. That is brilliant.
I love it, you know, because truly, the joy of the Lord is your strength. If you can't remember anything, remember what he did and what he said, that he loved us, and that's why he did it. He wants us to be with him for eternity. What we're going through is a piece of cake compared to what the disciples went through and the apostles went through. And if you think about people in China, what they have to go through to live the gospel, we have a piece of cake. We shouldn't have 1 ounce of complaint in us whatsoever.
Yeah.
Because this is just so wonderful and exciting that we live in this country, you know. And that don't mean that we don't fight. We have to fight the good fight of faith. We have to resist the enemy. And we got three enemies to resist: the devil, the flesh, and the world.
That's exactly right.
We have to go into this world and preach the gospel that Jesus did what he did for us so we can have a relationship with him. Wipe out religion and have a relationship.
Amen.
Is my theory, is have a relationship. You got to have a relationship. I can't do without the relationship.
Yep.
When I mess up, I go back to him and say, hey, you know me. It's Roger again.
You're going to have that hat in heaven. It's Roger again.
that's going to be my name up there.
Well, that's a good name.
You know, because I'm gonna thank David Spoon for it. I'm gonna get to spend 1,000 years with David Spoon and just sit and talk and remember all the stories we had on the radio. Remember all the good times we had on the radio. We didn't bring up too many sorrowful times, but when we need to pray, we could call up the David Spoon Ministry. And there is prayer warriors out there listening and praying with you and thinking about you to keep on fighting the good fight of faith. And that we're here for you. I'm out there praying. I'm not always saying I'm praying, but when people call in for their prayers and their sorrows and their what they're going through, I'm praying with them as much as I can. I only get to listen about 20 minutes to 45 minutes every time, but it's okay. I get enough, you know, the timing is always right.
Yeah.
God's timing is always right.
Amen. Amen. That is so true.
There's always hope. There's always faith. There's always trust. Don't forget to trust in God.
Amen.
Do not trust in yourself or anyone else, but trust in God and trust that Jesus Christ did what he did that day on that cross for us so we could live and be with him forever and ever. He loved us so much that he did. He came and did that for us.
Amen, brother. Great job. Good word you shared. I'm gonna close it with this. When you get up there, you know why it's gonna be Roger again? Because you resurrected. Roger again, because I resurrected, baby. Here I am. Don't you like that one? That's good.
That's just good stuff.
All right, brother. Love you, man.
Keep it up.
All right.
Just keep up your good work. And I'm praying for y'all. And you know what? I'm just gonna throw in here. I love you guys.
Yeah, we love you too, brother.
See you later.
All right. God bless you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you can't beat that. That's just too much fun. That's how Fellowship Radio is.
We love Roger again, Dave.
He's just
and all our callers.
Yeah, and I just want to say, Roger again. So he's been, oh, look, he resurrected. It's Roger again. Okay, anyway, all right, we'll take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
I got this morning, and it came from Alice Coleman, and I just want to say, she said it's a praise report to share, so I am assuming it's okay to share. Since it's a praise report to share, I kind of go with it. And I want to read it, if that's okay. And I just want you to hear how brothers and sisters petition the Lord, and there's times where God says, yes. Listen to this. And she even writes it beautifully. Beautiful job by Alice, by the way. This may seem like a minor issue, but it could have gotten much worse quickly. I'm fostering Mama Cat and her four kittens until they're ready to go to their forever homes. On Tuesday, I got a bit too close to the Mama Cat, and she swatted my hand. I had a few scratches, so I cleaned them up and applied antibiotics. In just a few hours, I had a swollen hand, red with infection, and it spread beyond my wrist. My doctor had same-day appointments if needed. However, I didn't have my car since it was being repaired. The only thing left was for me to pray for healing for my hand. Isn't that amazing that sometimes you're in the position and the only thing left to do is call upon God? She writes, as I watched the infection spread over my hand began to throb. I knew I needed help. I asked God for healing over and over again. On Wednesday, it looked really bad, and I kept asking God for healing. Let me just commend Alice for pushing until something happens. About mid-morning on Wednesday, my hand quit throbbing. Then I noticed that the infection was no longer spreading. Later Wednesday, the infection seemed to be getting smaller. By Wednesday evening, it was definitely clearing up. By bedtime, the infection was gone away. Thursday morning, the infection was completely gone. I praise God for healing the infection. It was only by his intervention that my hand was healed. It's amazing that our great and holy Father can care so much that he is willing to heal a hand infection of one of his children. I think that's a fantastic testimony. So mega props. Mega props to Alice for doing that. Great job. And I hope that was okay that I shared it. And see, the point is, you can pray. You can approach the Lord. And the Lord, you know what? He might say no. I like what Troy said. Sometimes God will say no. It's like, that's the end of it. You're done. But sometimes he allows you to keep petitioning. And the reason he does is because the more you pursue him, the closer connected to him you become. And more of your genuine, real faith has to emerge. See, if you just asked and God did it every time you just asked one time, it'd be like God would be like a genie. Well, God's not a genie. He's your heavenly Father. Needs to be pursued. Wants to have a wonderful relationship with you. And so the more you pursue, the more he gets to spend time with you, which is what he wants in the first place, what he wanted with Adam and Eve.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the true station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the true station here in Texas. Get ready for your next trivia question. Who was David's, referring to King David, who was David's first wife? Was it Bathsheba, Rebecca, or Michal? Bathsheba, Rebecca, or Michal? Okay. Who was David's first wife? Ooh. If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So I got to get to the teaching. I don't know if you guys have noticed this or not. But we are, that first period is like, it is just like a reset kind of, I don't know.
It is.
We're
there.
Just going through it. So that's the trivia question. So if you know it, great. You know, call in. Somebody's calling in already. People are texting all over the place. So that is also a great thing. And it's great when we're interacting with one another and caring for one another and loving one another and encouraging one another. It's like the best thing ever, right? I mean, the world's nutty, right? We can be a little less nutty there and a little more fun nutty here. I mean, fun, nutty. Okay,
I like that,
mind.
Dave. No, yeah. I like that. I like
fun,
that.
Nutty.
I know where you were going with that.
Yeah. I mean, it's
different
just
type
like,
of nutty, right?
Yeah. It's a different kind, right? Okay. Somebody's ready for the trivia question. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Oh, this is your little brother.
Hello, little brother. What's going on?
Hey, not much.
All right. Here, you ready for the triv?
Yes, sir.
Okay. David's first wife, was it Bathsheba, Rebecca, or Michal?
Well, while Bathsheba was taking baths, so he said, let's go with Michal.
That is correct, Amanda! Wait, I got to tell you this, because nobody will appreciate this as much as you, but the name Michal can either be Michal, Michelle, Michal, Michal. It's got five actual used pronunciations on the same spelling.
Actually, you're forgetting one more. Rochelle, Rochelle.
Yeah, I just find it amazing. It's like just whenever the one you're going, how do you say that? That's one. That's the wife.
Yeah, no, that's true. Yeah.
Great.
Cool. Hey, I got your text, and I'm praying for everybody.
Okay.
And especially for that person as well.
That's right. So if you need prayer in bones and in what? How did you say? How did you define it? In your bones or in? Is osteoporosis? Is that what you were saying? What is it? The phrase you use?
Yeah. Yep. No, any orthopedic related.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's great. I mean, Eric and Lisa both need that. So I mean, I know that. That's Eric that calls in, and Lisa is his wife. Because she went through the foot thing and he's went through the shoulder thing. What a couple.
Uh-huh. Yes, and I'm committed. I'm praying.
Thank you, brother. We appreciate you. Appreciate your praying.
Thank you for your ministry. Your ministry is a rock and roll, buddy.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate you.
Okay.
God bless
you. Thank you. God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, let's get into the teaching, because if I don't, we'll never get to it, and I got to get to it, so that's my job. That's not my job. Well, I guess it's my job. I don't know. All right. Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. We're going to go all the way down just a couple of verses because I want to make sure we get this. Think of it this way. This is Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. Galatians 4, 1. Thank you. Think of it this way. If a father dies and leaves great wealth for his young children, those children are not much better off than slaves until they grow up. Even though they actually own everything their father had, they have to obey their guardians until they reach whatever age the father has set. And this is the way it is with us. Before Christ came, we were slaves to the spiritual powers of this world. But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law so that he could adopt us as his very own children. So let's just stop there because this is loaded, loaded, right? But I want to pick on one thing you might not get, okay? So this might be different in the ESV, which I'll ask D in a second. But I want you to go all the way to verse through almost the end of verse 1. Think of it this way. If the father dies and leaves great wealth for his young children, those children are not much better off than the slaves until they – now, what does it say there in the SIV?
Are we at verse 22, Dave?
Yeah. No, we're at chapter 4, verse 1. Chapter 4, verse 1. And just read the ESV version of it. He's got the ESV.
I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father.
All right. So when you're a child, what is it you have to do? What did you have to do when you were a child? Ready? When you have to grow up. You have to... Remember Paul said, the D's looking at me like, wait, that's good. First Corinthians 13, he says, when I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I acted like a child. When I matured, I put away childish things, I grew up. Hey, guess what? We all have to grow up. So growing up has to do with not trying to revert back to the law. What does that all mean? It means that being mature is you being able to say, I can't do this apart from the work of Christ. I can't earn it. Here's the irony. We think because we're fleshly, that's immature. But God calls that mature. God calls us mature when we can put aside our ridiculous mentality and philosophy that we can earn it. And we grow up when we go, I can only receive it. Isn't that just like, what? You got to grow up. And then verse 2, it says, they have to obey their guardians until they reach whatever age their father set. And that's how it is with us. Before Christ came, we were slaves to the spiritual powers of this world. Let's keep in mind something, and I don't care about political correctness. Every human being is a slave to the spiritual powers of this world unless they have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, by which they can not only judicially be free, but practically make that application come to pass as they grow in Christ. That's it. There's nothing. That's it. Sorry. We try to say the whole world's in slavery? Yes. But that's an offensive word. It's an offensive thing we did that put us there. How about being offended about the sin that everybody commits? It's amazing that people are offended by a word but not by an action. Huh. That doesn't seem mature at all. Well, maybe not to me, but you know. But the coolest part about this is what we're going to hit on when we get back. And I know you're thinking, well, wait. The spiritual world, right? But there's a small nugget in the middle of it. And you know, I love to pull out these nuggets out of the verses, and we're going to look right at it. So we're going to take a quick break, then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Can't stand the skill, can't stand the shame.
What is the David Spoon Experience? Imagine yourself on a rocket ship racing at 1,000 miles an hour into space. Once there, you can sense the power and the presence of the majestic and the divine. You forget about your troubles and your fears, and you just float in peace without a worry in the world. There are no struggles, no pain, no discomfort. It's soothing, calm, comfortable. But then, the show starts, and you realize that none of that stuff has anything to do with the show. What were you thinking? The David Spoon Experience, only for the brave of heart and the bored.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Bibles are very cool looking. You can have them electronically. You can have them in your phone. You have them in your computer. There's tons of apps. There's also cool looking book Bibles. I mean, there's a lot of stuff out there. It's great. Here's the bottom line. All that's fancy and fantastic and useless if you don't read it and believe it and process it. For those that are trying to figure out, first of all, well, why is it that the Bible is its own unique entity? What's the deal in that? Well, the same breath that went into creating Adam, which was creating creation of man, that same breath went into the Bible. And so 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is God-breathed. That's the breath of God. And the breath of God that went into Adam is the breath of God that goes into the book, which is why this is a unique book. And then people are get really upset, and they go, well, hold on now. Hold on now, Dave. The problem there is, you know, that there's just so many people that have been a part of writing the Bible. In fact, there's about 40 authors spanning about 3,000 years in all different types of positions in life. But here's the great thing about Christian faith. If you believe that God created the universe, you're going to step out on that big ledge and go, well, if he created the universe, he can probably write a book. Well, the amazing part about the book itself is not just the self-proclamations of the book, but you get into the prophecies, and it's an amazing, amazing element that every single prophecy has been fulfilled exactly, and yet there are some to come, and we will see those fulfilled. But while you're engaging in the Word of God, here's something you need to be aware of that Christians do not recognize. That word where it says, for the Word of God is alive, is zone in the Greek. If we were doing a Greek word, that'd be zone. And that word means alive, to live. Jesus used that word in Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, where he says, behold, I am alive, and I live forevermore. Same word. And the Word of God is alive. And you think, well, this is just a book. It is just a book, except for when you're reading the Word of God and the Holy Spirit connects you to the Word of God, it becomes something altogether different. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. So funny, that song that we do the intro on there. I listened to that song yesterday on the way home. Ishmael United is the band. It's from the 70s and 80s. It's just like, yeah, it's classic. Okay, anyway. Okay, we got our trivia question. Let's do that next. This is a good one. And then we got some really cool teachings, and then we're going to do history, and we might be able to even get some jokes in on the fourth one. We'll see on the segment after this. But here's your trivia question. After the flood, okay, right? Everybody hear that, right? After the flood, how long did Noah live? 100 years, 400 years, or 350 years? After the flood. How long did Noah live? 100 years, 400 years, or 350 years? If you think you know the answer, Al always has the most unique answers. If you think you know the answer, reach out to us, 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483 as well. You can send an email, david@hemusincrease.org. Going to send you to the website right now and just say it really nice. Ready? Just like that. That was a good one. If you can. And if you can't, don't worry about it. But if you can, give. Check it out on the website, hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
hemustincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
hemustincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
hemustincrease.org.
hemustincrease.org.
All right, I just want to give credit to Jennifer for creating that sound effect, which actually sits there and makes me think, what was she doing when she made this sound effect? That's my question. And then Al's answer, I want to give his answer first because people need to understand how deep we go into this. How long did Noah live after the flood? 100 years, 400 years, or 350 years? And then Al wrote, until he died. People making up their own answers. That's sad. All right. If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can text 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. We are, in fact, going to do history because we haven't been doing our history very often, and I want to make sure we get it done. So let's do history.
Let's go live in the past. Let's go live.
right. Today is chocolate milkshake day.
You like it?
Yeah. I mean, okay. I like it. I mean
strawberry, yeah.
Are you like strawberry more?
Strawberry with chocolate.
So do you like, really? Yes. I did not know that about you. See? Noelle's like, she likes either the mint chocolate or caramel something, you know, that kind of thing. Today is National Day of Encouragement. Dynamite D, you're doing a great job.
Love encouragement day.
There you go. Today is National Hug and High Five Day, but I don't think they're supposed to go together at the same time, or it would be National Bang Your Heads Together Day. Because if you hug and high five at the same time, seems to me like you would be like, bam, that might hurt. And then today, in theory, is I'm on top of it day.
Never.
Yeah, I don't even know what that means. I'm on top of what? Anyway, two little things to say, and then we'll move on to three. 1609 in this day, the Hudson River is discovered by Henry Hudson. Now, I read these and I go, first of all, how do you know he's the first guy?
I'm not buying it.
What if somebody else came along and go, I call this, you know, river of this, or, you know, it's like, it could have been a thousand years before that. Nobody knows that. And then 1910 on this day, the first United States police. Now, 1910, 113 years ago, the first policewoman, Alice Stebbins Wells, had the authority to arrest people. You don't hear much about that, do you?
Dave, wow.
113 years ago. No rights. Okay, anyway, and then finally, first unmanned spacecraft to land on the moon and return. Soviet Luna 16 is launched, returned to the Earth 12 days later with 101 grams of lunar soil, which apparently some of their leadership ate. Anyway, because they're a little bit lunar. All right, there you go. Yeah, that was a good one. All right, back to the trivia question and to teaching. Here we go. I can't believe you guys put up with
it's
me.
It's a process.
Yeah, something like that. After the flood, how long did Noah live? Okay, 100 years, 400 years, 350 years. Your answer, by the way, is Genesis 9:28. For those that want to know, but now you have to wait for my teaching, so that's what's going on now. Verse 3, we'll pick it back up in Galatians 4, and that's the way it was with us. Before Christ came, we were slaves to spiritual powers of this world. But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. So stop. That verse right there is also this, and I'll read it in multiple translations. When the right time came, actually your translation, D, says, when the fullness of time had come. The Berean Standard says, but when the time had fully come. All right, you getting this? When the fullness of time had come, when the fullness of time, when the time came to completion is what the Christian Standard Bible and the Holman Standard Bible says. Here's the key on that text, because this is the kind of thing you read and just go right by it and go, you're just buzzing by, right? The right time. The time of fulfillment. The exact time that God wanted. Now listen. I'm going to say this in the nicest way. The second coming of Jesus Christ will be at the right time. It won't be 1 millisecond late or 1 millisecond early. It will be perfect. And the perfect timing from God goes beyond corporate. It is also for you individually. You're thinking, well, Lord, I need this now. If God really thought you needed it right then and there when you said so, you'd have it. That's what we don't get. He never fails us in this. See, it's the right time if we think it's the right time. It's our timex, not God's timex. And so if you think that through, you think all the things that you tell the Lord... It's like, well, I need an answer here. I need an answer here. And you know the Lord's like going, no, you don't. So maybe he doesn't say that, but I tend to think maybe he does. And that's probably not accurate, but it's like his timing is perfect. He's never failed you by a second. Not once. If you don't have the answer yet, there's a reason. There's a purpose to the perceived delay. Did you hear that? There's a purpose to the perceived delay. He knows exactly. So in verse 3, it was this way before Christ came. We were slaves of spiritual powers of the world. But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves. Let me explain something to you. We always talk about the redeeming work of Jesus Christ. Well, to redeem is to buy it back. Just think of a pawn shop. It's a great example. Go to a pawn shop. Yeah, I'm just saying this so you can understand what we're doing. And or you go to one of those kid places and you get tickets for the games you play, and you get all the tickets, and then you go and take your tickets and you redeem them for a toy. Or when you buy back that thing you got a loan on from the pawn shop, you redeem it. It's your redemption. Jesus bought us back from what? The penalty and the price of sin, which cost his blood. That was the payback. Innocent blood paid for guilty blood. That was the price. So what Jesus did is he bought our freedom. He bought our freedom from being slaves to the world, just like what Roger again said, from being slaves to our flesh, to Satan, and to the world. He bought us. He redeemed us. He bought us back again to where? Ready? This will blow your mind. You know where he bought us back again to? The garden before there was sin. No. Wow. See, this is why Jesus is also identified as the second Adam. Oh, wow. All that stuff's making sense. And your brain there's going, ding, 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 ding. That's the price he paid. It's like, ooh, I get goosebumps. Because why? Because he purchased us. He bought us back. He bought us out of slavery. So I'm going to share a story. It's not to brag. It's just simply to give you a story. We raised money in San Diego for a situation where they were taking a fix for some of the cattle, a medicine for some of the cattle, and they would be willing to trade that for people, these slave owners, right? And so we raised money to purchase the medicine, to give them the medicine so that they would give people back, and we're able to raise up enough money to have 300 people, 300 physical people, and with signs and everything, freed from slavery about 7 years ago.
Wow.
That is called redeeming. That's what Jesus did for you. All right? Can't miss that, right? There's no way to miss this. Like, okay, I got it. All right? All right. We'll take a break. Oh, I got to answer the trivia question. After the flood, how long did Noah live? 100, 400, or 350 years? 350 years. He was 600 when the flood was over. He died when he was 950. 950 minus 6 is 350.
He was probably ready to go.
I think he probably had his fill. Right? 100 years of going. Okay, anyway, hey, I'm building this thing. Leave me alone. Anyhow, we'll take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
This KAAM radio show with your very own David Spoon is not a business, but a nonprofit ministry first and foremost committed to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and strategically equipping the saints. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Christian believers, the hurting, and those not yet believers who need biblical truths. To continue our radio ministry and message of truth, we need many of our faithful listeners to support us, as well as ministry partners who might wish to sponsor the He Must Increase ministry. By giving, you wonderfully facilitate our priorities of assertively teaching the Word of God, and you get nothing in return. No quid pro quo. Nothing but a receipt at the end of the year indicating you gave to us, since your donation is 100% tax deductible. Remember that it says in Corinthians that whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Or in Proverbs, where it teaches that a generous person will prosper, whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. But if you cannot give, no problem. continue to enjoy and learn and give however you see fit whenever you can. To support us, go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Such support is terribly appreciated. Knowing it enables our beloved David Spoon to give to all of us his time, energy, like so few can. Right here on KAAM.
The Christian faith is being attacked. 50 years ago, people would disagree with Christianity, but with a sense of respect. Those days are over. The rage, the flesh, the enemy, and the atmosphere of sin is growing and growing. Jesus said in Matthew 24, the love of many will grow cold. And if it's not the end now, it's certainly a lot closer than it was yesterday. You may be from a Baptist background. David Spoon has that. You may have a Pentecostal background. He has that too. You may have a non-denominational background. Yep, he's got that as well. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience.
Hot topics.
So listen to this. So Jesus, in one passage, says, judge not or you'll be judged. In another passage, he says, judge ye righteous judgment. That's the King James Version. I like the ye. Judge ye righteous. So there's two different judgments going on here. One's okay, one's not okay. Okay, how does that work? Again, one is a condemnation, the other an observation, an evaluation, and a determination.
The David Spoon Experience.
Sometimes hallelujah.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the True Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the True Station here in Texas. Dynamite D brought up a good point. He's talking about the redemptive work. You know, you think about Paul saying, you know, that husbands ought to love their wives the way that Christ loved the church. And it's like, what did he do for the church? He laid down his life for it. Oh! I think that starts there. People are like, well, who starts? Does the husband start or does the wife start? I don't know. Did you start or did Jesus start? Okay. Anyway. Okay. See, some zingers are just like, let's keep going.
Really quick.
Let's just keep going. Okay. Okay. Ooh, good one. Last trivia question. What did Moses cast into the bitter waters of Marah that made the waters sweet? Was it a staff? Was it MSNBC? Or was it a large cable bill?
You say he made it sweet, Dave?
Yeah.
We know it's not one of them for sure.
Yeah, I know. What did Moses cast into the bitter waters of Marah that made them sweet? Was it the staff? Was it MSNBC? MSNBC, come on. I mean,
it was one of them.
I mean, just on Saturday, they're like, all Christianity is evil. It's like, you guys are like loons. They're loony. Come on. All right. Or high cable. What did I say? High cable bill? Something like that.
Number two would make me get rid of three.
Yeah, that's exactly. If you don't get this, I got nothing. I'm not even going to say anything. You guys can figure this out, okay? What did he throw in there? Was it MSNBC or was it a staff? We'll just leave it there. If you think you know, leave it alone. 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483. Or you can send an email, David, at hemustincrease.org. And if you were like, are you picking sides? No, I'm picking apart stupid. And that is just stupid. Sorry. Okay. Now, this is cool. Okay, so I don't know if I really don't know if I have the time. I might be able to do it. Can I do a joke? Okay. I have one joke. Okay, ready? Two jokes. Okay, all right. Jim to his teacher. Teacher, would you be mad at somebody for something they didn't do? Teacher to Jim. No, of course not. Jim to teacher. Good, I didn't do my homework. Come on, that's not bad. This one's great. Teacher to Kathy. Kathy, what would you do if you were being chased by a man-eating tiger? Kathy to the teacher. Nothing. I'm a girl.
Wow.
That's hilarious. A man eating tiger? I'm not doing anything. All right. What did Moses? Okay. I'm getting in trouble for this one. I'm just letting you know. What did Moses cast into the bitter waters of Mara that made them sweet? Number one, staff. Number two, MSNBC. Or number three, high cable bills. One of those three, okay?
You need to grow up.
Yeah. Well, not today. Apparently. 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483. Send an email, david@hemusincrease.org. No, they really did on Saturday. There was a show about everything about Christianity is evil. It's just so weird.
You'll pull your hair out watching it's that just, show. Seriously.
I mean, it's just weird. It's like, what? Nothing but no news. Nothing? Oh, nothing. Zero. Couldn't. Okay. All right. All right. Let's go to the rest of this teaching. And this is really cool. So I want you to get this, okay? All right. We're going to pick it up at the buy the freedom for the slaves from the law so he could adopt us as his very own children. Verse 6 of Galatians 4. And because you Gentiles have become his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts. And now you can call God your dear Father. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own children. And since you are his child, everything he has belongs to you. Uh-oh. Dave, is that a scripture for name it and claim it? Nope. Here's what you have to understand about everything God has belongs to you. Ready? I'm just going to make this so that people don't misunderstand or try to misapply, right? You own nothing. I can't say this with enough stress to you, okay? You think you own your car or you own your property or you own this or whatever. First of all, anybody that owns property, let's just start off with the real simple concept, you're renting. Why? Because the planet is not man's. It's God's. The earth is his footstool. That's number one. Number two, you own nothing because if Jesus is your Lord owns everything. He's letting you be the manager or the steward of that which he has provided, including your breath. Remember we did this yesterday? How about this, right? Stop. One, two, three. That next breath you just took, that was a gift. Stewardship-wise, you're responsible for it. Okay. Now, having said that we own nothing, here's the cool part. We possess everything. What do you mean you possess everything? Well, because God owns everything, and we're his heirs and offspring, Romans chapter 8, verse 17, we are co-heirs with Christ and heirs of God. We have access to everything that the Father owns. Well, that's a lot of stuff. And what's cool that you should recognize is it says in verse 5, because you Gentiles have become his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, and now you can call God your dear Father. In other words, the Holy Spirit inside of you is affirmation and confirmation that you're his kid. And to me, the best affirmation and confirmation of the Holy Spirit is not the goosebump feelings. Those are cool. I mean, I like them. I mean, when the Lord's around, I love that. But when the Lord God challenges you through the rebuke or challenge or conviction of the Holy Spirit, who, by the way, convicts of sin, that's one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit, and you're convicted of it, that's a wonderful proof that you are an heir of God, a child of the Most High God. And we always think of these things as negative. It's like, that's the best thing in the world. Because if you didn't care, there would be a problem. But you are his child, and the Spirit inside you verifies. And now everything belongs to you in the concept that you are his child and you are his heir. It's like, cool. So let's just set the record straight because we go through this a lot. It has nothing to do with name it and claim it. It's got nothing to do with prosperity. It's got to do with this. Your dad knows what you need. That is all it has to do with. And you think, yes, but I want this, and I want this, and I want this. Yes, that's why the scripture in James refers to things that we want that is a lusting of the flesh. God's not going to answer that. He's not giving you that. Why would he give you the lusting of the flesh answers? No. But what you need, of course, remember, if you, as a parent, as a father, can give your child an egg instead of a snake, and you're evil, how much more will your father give to you? Okay. So we got to stop imputing to God that he's like this, what's the word I'm looking for? Stingy. Pry it out of his hands. Dance just long enough so he's impressed so he will grant you a gem. Stop. How about we just maintain that faith belief that he is as awesome as we hope in our heart? See, that's the thing. We hope in our heart that he is that awesome, but the word tells us he's that awesome. So maybe instead of hoping in our heart that it's true, maybe we can use faith and believe it's true. Maybe that's a big difference right there. I like that. I think that's kind of an interesting way to say it. So I'm just going to read through it, and then we'll just wrap it up, and I'll give the trivia answer, which should not be difficult. Verse 5, and that's the way it is with us before, or verse 3, and that's the way it is with us before Christ came. We were slaves to spiritual powers of this world, but when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so he could adopt us as his very own children. And because you Gentiles have become his children, God has sent the spirit of his son into your hearts, and now you can call God your dear Father. I love that. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, everything he has belongs to you. But remember, he has it. Okay. What did Moses cast in the bitter waters of Marah? It was a staff, or MSNBC, or high cable bill. It was a staff, or a wooden rod, or anything. That's fine. One of the other answers was tree. I just didn't want to use tree. It seemed throw a tree in. Okay. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas, taking a 22.5-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.